It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferris. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, archaeologists pulled a second ancient canoe from the bottom of Lake Mendota in Madison. We'll find out what this 3,000-year-old discovery tells us about the state's past. But first, Rachel Vasquez joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you great conversations every day here on Central Time. Your support makes it happen because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Give now. Any amount really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much, Rob, for letting me hang out here with you for a little bit. Thank you to everyone who gave last hour. Our goal this hour is to get 20 gifts. We can do that with your help. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money for the programs that you rely on, programs like Central Time.
Let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time. Let's start with yours right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio is a really special thing. It's got a unique funding model. It's really a two-way street that creates a high-quality product. This is how it works. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back programs that are accountable only to you.
It's a great system. You get programs worth listening to because you step up and support them. Make your contribution for independent news, info, and music right now. Help pay for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. Online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We really do need your help to do it today. Take the step to support WPR programs that you love with a gift of $15 a month and get two pairs of WPR socks. Not just one pair, two pairs. Whether you add another pair to your sock drawer or share a pair with a friend, whatever you want to do with it, they are cotton Argyle socks and they're the perfect way to show off your WPR pride. It's a special offer only available today, 2-for-1 Tuesday. Take advantage of it right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is your radio station. Your intelligence, involvement, and high expectations really do shape everything you hear on these airwaves or online.
That's right. And thank you so much for making sure that Wisconsin and beyond has a vital, strong public radio service. WPR is your station because you fund it. Take that step, join in, take on that responsibility right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know your time may be at a premium. Well, here's a great bit of news. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes of your time. Tell us your name, contact info, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
That's right. It's really quick. It's really easy. And your gift right now makes a big difference. So take the next few minutes to support the station that you count on, the program that you count on, like Central Time, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, great news. You already got our first couple gifts just since we started talking. Thank you so much for getting the ball rolling here. How about you looking for 18 more people now to join in your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a really strong future for the programs that you count on.
Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. Really easy to set up. It's just convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card, and you can get started right now at WPR.org, or you can give us a call at 888-202-2552.
Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get it started right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, it is 2-for-1 Tuesday. Take advantage of this deal while you can. These socks go really fast. They're super cozy. Support WPR with your gift of $15 a month and show off your public radio pride with two pairs of socks that will get you through the winter, get you through the fall as it gets colder in Wisconsin. They have a radio and Wisconsin-themed design. They're navy and gold, very stylish, and the perfect way to support and broadcast your support and love of WPR. It's an offer that's only available for today, so take your chance right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a great time to give. Get that 4-for-1, I guess, sock deal. 2 pairs for one gift, $15 a month or more, and know that you're supporting great radio here at WPR. Make that gift right now. WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support. This is Central Time. Now, for the second time in 12 months, a team of archaeologists extracted an ancient canoe from the bottom of Lake Mendota in Madison. Last week, divers excavated the 15-foot-long dugout white oak that they believe to be around 3,000 years old. Last November, the first canoe they pulled up was even more intact. It dated back to around the year 800. The discoveries made international news and have local archaeologists excited about what else might be hidden down there. Tamara Thompson is a maritime archaeologist with the Wisconsin Historical Society and a diving instructor. She discovered both of the canoes in Lake Mendota. Tamara, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And James Skibo is the Wisconsin State Archaeologist. He's part of the State Archaeology and Maritime Preservation Program at the Wisconsin Historical Society. Jim, good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Rob.
Tamara, take us into the discovery of finding this now second ancient canoe.
Oh my goodness. So I was out this spring diving in Lake Mendota when it's clear and beautiful. And I had a student with me named Casey Klaus, and we were putting some time on a new piece of equipment that he had just purchased. And we were just killing time underwater, swimming along the wall off of Shorewood Hills area. And there it was, another dugout canoe poking its nose out of the sand.
Jim, what was your reaction when you got, I think, a note from Tamara saying, hey, guess what?
Yeah, she sent a text, and I didn't believe her because she's kind of a jokester. So we called, and she said, no, I'm not kidding. It's another canoe. So I was quite shocked.
And Tammy, what were the steps between first finding this in the lake and now getting to, I guess, extraction day last week? First of all, like, if I were in the lake and had found something, how would I know I could find it again?
Right. So it was located along a slope, so in 27 feet of water. And so we had to go back and relocate it, staying at the same depth, staying along the wall using natural navigation. And when we found our way back, I took measurements of it and some video and photographs, and we were able to assemble a photogrammetry model of the canoe. I also took some detailed measurements. And then I went back out a couple days later with Jim's support, and we were able to take a small sample of wood, which was sent in for radiocarbon dating, C14 dating. And then from there, everyone got really excited. In fact, we didn't think it was true. We thought there had been a mistake in the test. And so Jim got back on the phone and he called the researcher that had run the date. And he said, no, he swore it was right. He was going to try it again and ran it again for us for free. And we still didn't believe it. So we sent it in a third time for testing. and by gosh, it is 3,000 years old.
Now, Jim, the one from around 800 AD was pretty amazing. Now, 3,000-year-old canoe, what is this telling us about life in south central Wisconsin 3 millennia ago?
Yeah, you know, it's we've long thought that the dugout canoe making went back to the first humans in Wisconsin. I mean, the Ho-Chunk and Menominee and the other tribal oral histories talk about dugout canoes, and we have dugout canoe or wood making stone tools, but not canoes, but not the real canoes. So finding one that's 1,000 BC was really shocking. I mean, it would be shocking just to find 1,000 BC wood in the water, much less a canoe. So I mean, it's shocking. It blows me away. It's the reason why, you know, we had it dated multiple times, because you know, we don't want to make a mistake about this and proclaim that we have the oldest canoe in the Great Lakes, unless we're quite sure. Because it's astounding to me. And it's sort of a micro environmental zone, I think, in this location that creates a situation where the canoes stay buried their entire time. until, of course, Tammy finds him.
Right. And Jim, if it hadn't been buried like this under a lake, if it had just been, you know, docked on land or something, it would not have survived 3,000 years. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it wouldn't have survived 300. It probably wouldn't have survived 30. I mean, if it had to be under the sediment on the bottom of the lake where there's no light and no air, and that it's a little preservation chamber. So, you know, we think that it's now we're beginning to think that the canoe started on top of this bench. It's about a 200 yard bench that goes out, that's fairly shallow, and it breaks down quickly to 27 or more feet. And it's likely that the lakes were lower, beginning to think, and we're going to study that. And then these canoes were probably cached, and then they were buried, and then they slid underground to the bottom of this wall until they start to erode away.
We're talking to Wisconsin Historical Society archaeologist Jim Skibo and Tamara Thompson about the discovery of a second, even older, ancient canoe in Madison's Lake Mendota. Coming up, how do you bring a really fragile 3,000-year-old canoe from the bottom of the lake to the surface? We'll find out coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about the 3,000-year-old canoe pulled from Lake Mendota in Madison with archaeologist Jim Skibo and Tamara Thompson from the Wisconsin Historical Society. All right, bringing this thing up last Thursday, Tammy, what was that like to be in the water and trying to make sure it got from down there to up here intact?
Well, we spent a few days earlier in the week really preparing this site. We needed to do some hand excavation around it. We decided not to use an airlift dredge this year. We decided it was a little too fragile for that. So we used trowels and hand fanning to get it loose from the bottom. And then from there, we knew that it was fragmentary, so that it was going to come up in pieces. So we took a piece of polycarbonate plastic and put it underneath the bottom of the canoe. And then from there, we lifted, instead of lifting the canoe directly, we lifted from that plastic sheet. And then, you know, it was very nerve-wracking the day of the lift. We had everything in place, ready to go. All we needed to do was go out there. And the most stressful was the weather. We knew that it wouldn't handle much wind or waves. And so we just kept watching until we got closer, and they narrowed down the window that we had to work. And we had everybody in the boat loaded at 6:30 in the morning because we knew we needed to have it up and at the beach at Spring Harbor by 10 o'clock when the wind was predicted to pick up.
And Jim, as you mentioned, this lasted 3,000 years because it was buried under the lake. What were the first steps you took to preserve it now that it was in contact with air?
Well, you know, once we brought it up, we floated it to Shorewood Beach. I should also mention that this was done in collaboration with our tribal partners, mm-hmm. in particular the Ho-Chunk and Bill Quackenbush, who's been very supportive. And when we brought it, and they were out on the lake, the elders and Ho-Chunk folks and other people from the university really were out on the lake while we were pulling it up. And they met us at the shore, and they were given a moment to be with the canoe, and it was sort of a moving, I think, experience. But from there, it went on a police escorted ride across to Madison to the State Archival Preservation Facility. We hosed it off on Thursday afternoon outside, and we discovered that it was in six large pieces and a lot of other small pieces. Unlike the last canoe, which was mostly intact, we got most of the canoe, but it is in some places it was like soft cardboard. So this canoe wasn't long for this world. So we inventoried every piece, and then the next day we scanned it, photographed it, cleaned it, and then lowered it down into the vat. By happy coincidence, the vat that we built for the last canoe was wide enough to accommodate two canoes. So we lucked out, and we're going to start the polyethyl glycol preservation system, which replaces the water in the cellular structure. It'll take about 2 years when we get to about 40% pig. Then we'll send it to Texas A&M for freeze drying, and they promised they can actually do a two for one. It's a deal, a two for one at Texas A&M.
Now, Tammy, you found two old canoes in Lake Mendota. I don't know. Are you getting greedy now? Are you hoping to spot more things down underwater?
Yeah, I almost don't want to dive there anymore. we're actually preparing to do a project this winter over the ice with ground penetrating radar. We're partnering with the Ho-Chunk and hope to get out there to see if we can see some anomalies with that radar that are in the bottom that may signal where other canoes are located in the same area.
Other canoes, and also the possibility that on that bench we have a buried habitation site that perhaps we can record and protect. I think that's a likely possibility right now.
Wow. And Jim, as you look at these canoes, I know part of archaeology is gleaning everything you can from remaining physical evidence. What kind of things can we learn from looking at how these were made, for example?
Well, you know, these canoes are kind of similar, even though they're almost 2,000 years apart. They're both made of white oak. They're both quite flat, more like a paddleboard than a canoe. They're designed to hold just one or two people and maybe some fish. It wouldn't be, you know, you'd probably kneel or even sit with your legs over the edge if you're on a canoe like this. Tammy and Dr. Cecil Schrader are doing a study of all the dugout canoes in Wisconsin, and they're finding that the older ones tend to be like this. And so no one's ever done a systematic study of these canoes. So not only have no archaeologists actually found dugout canoes before, they've all been found by individuals who live on lakes. And this is the only two. I mean, you know, Tammy's incredible. And we wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for her. So I'm forever grateful. So.
And Tammy, I want to wrap up by asking you, you know, you obviously spend a lot of time on or in or under the water. And now, you know, you're part of this community of people who have been using these lakes for at least 3,000 years. Does it make it different to be out in the lakes knowing that?
Oh yeah. It gives me chills. So some of the connections that we've made with the Ho-Chunk and some of the people that came out for the canoe recovery, it's just incredible to think that, you know, that I live on Lake Mendota, and you know, there were people that were living in this footprint, and they were so different, for their lives were so different than mine, and they were living here 3,000 years ago.
Tammy, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Jim, thanks for being back with us.
You're welcome. Tammy and I are going to go buy some socks, I think. We're going to get some WPR socks.
Excellent, excellent. They'll keep you warm while you're out there on the water. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been talking to Tamara Thompson, maritime archaeologist with the Wisconsin Historical Society and a diving instructor. She discovered both of the canoes we've been talking about in Lake Mendota. And James Skibo is the Wisconsin State Archaeologist, part of the State Archaeology and Maritime Preservation Program as well at the Wisconsin Historical Society. With us to share more about the discovery of a 3,000-year-old canoe at the bottom of Madison's Lake Mendota, the second ancient canoe found there in the last 12 months. Coming up, protests against Iran's morality police have spread, including wider criticism of the religious dictatorship. We'll find out what's driving the protests and check out the reaction from the U.S. Now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Listener contributions are the largest source of funding at WPR. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including Central Time on the air. Rachel Vasquez joins me now to invite you to make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. And Rob, we've got about 35 minutes left in this hour, making a little bit of slow progress. We need 18 more people to join in. We think we can get there with your help. And thank you so much if you've already given.
If you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs that you count on.
Yeah, programs like the one that we just heard. We got to learn about this canoe that was discovered at the bottom of Lake Mendota in Madison. But it wasn't just any canoe. It's a really, really old canoe that's like 3,000 years old. I thought it was such a cool story. It's something that connects us to our history in Wisconsin. And what I loved about it is that you got to hear directly from the people who found it, how surprised they were, how excited they were. those are the kinds of conversations that you can count on from Central Time. Those are the reason why you tune in every day, and we count on you to make them happen.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And if you want an easy way to do it, we do have an easy way for you. It is called Becoming a Sustainer. It means that you make monthly gifts, whether it's $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount works for you, and you continue month after month, year after year. You can get started right now. It'll feel great when you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's an election year coverage here on Wisconsin Public Radio and online at WPR.org. It keeps you informed of all the latest developments every step of the way.
That's right. And the cool thing about the Ideas Network and Central Time is that we work really hard to take you beyond the soundbite, so you get access to a whole range of perspectives on different issues. This is the kind of in-depth news that's vital and only possible with listener support. That means you. You can cast your vote for Wisconsin Public Radio with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 16 more people to join in now by the end of the hour. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 will help make sure we have a bright future for the programs that you count on.
And take the chance to show off your support for independent journalism, great journalism like Central Time, and quality entertainment with the new WPR socks. We heard maybe some people who are going to take us up on that offer. Today, only get two pairs of these navy and gold cotton socks when you give $15 a month or more. They've got an Argyle design that features a radio and Wisconsin theme pattern. The world will know your support for Wisconsin Public Radio is essential, and this offer is only available today, so you have to take your chance to do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dane in Superior says, I started listening back when my parents constantly had WPR on. I've been a sustainer now for years and feel it's time to increase my donation. That's fantastic, Dane. How about you? Whether you've been listening, you know, in the car with your parents or when you were a kid, or you just started a couple months ago, we're glad you're out there, and we hope you'll help support it for the future. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thanks for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, protests have continued in Iran for more than 10 days as people demand changes following the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Rob Ferret here with Rachel Vasquez. You count on the Ideas Network for great conversations. It's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such a big deal.
Yeah, Rob, the pressure is really on now because we need 16 more people to join in a little bit less than half an hour. Once we do, we will meet our goal. And these goals are really important to us. They are set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs that you count on, like Central Time. So make your donation right now. We really can't do this without your help. Go online, WPR.org, or give us a call at 888-202-2552.
On Central Time, you get a better understanding of the news and learn about interesting topics, everything from things going on around the world. We've talked about the Russian invasion of Ukraine this week. Coming up, a look at the headlines you may have been seeing coming from Iran, to things closer to home, science stories like the 3,000-year-old canoe found in a Wisconsin lake, and all points in between. Central Time is your go-to place for informative and interesting afternoons.
Yeah, that's right. Hours and hours of conversation, and your financial support is a huge part of what makes all of those hours possible. Listener support is really the biggest piece of our funding here at WPR, so make a contribution right now. Step up, join the WPR family at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
The great thing about voluntary donations is that you decide how much you want to give. WPR is listener supported. That means the more donors we have, the more secure our funding is. So how much you give isn't as important as the fact that you give something.
That's exactly right. And a lot of first-time donors give $100 or $10 a month, but you decide the amount that's right for you. That's the crucial thing, since contributing is your choice, and because WPR is something that you value, something that you listen to every day, you'll find that donating feels really good. So find out right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Some things in life you just can't get enough of, like your favorite WPR programs and socks. No matter how hard you try, socks always seem to go missing.
I think there's a black hole in my laundry dryer.
There is only one answer to this question, and the answer is laundry gnomes.
I think some socks just weren't meant for the drawer life.
This member drive, replenish your sock drawer and keep the public radio service you love strong. Today only, you'll get two pairs of WPR socks when you give $15 a month. Here's how.
Make that gift online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Rachel Vasquez. The WPR programs you enjoy are all possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a big difference for our entire community.
Yeah, and the special thing about WPR is that you get to choose how much you give. A contribution of any amount really makes a big difference for us. So here are a few suggestions. The same amount that you pay for your monthly Netflix or Hulu or HBO Max, maybe all of the above, or maybe a cable package.
That's all stuff you go to for entertainment, for information. Well, so is WPR. We don't bill you for it, though, but we hope you think it's valuable to support things you look forward to. Give now. You choose the amount. Your gift makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're listening and you're like, okay, Rob, okay, Rachel, I've already donated. I'm done for this year. Well, or maybe you're a sustaining member. If so, thank you so much. You can think about making an extra gift. Maybe it's $50 or $100, and you can do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join in this drive, and thank you for that extra support for the programs that you count on.
Another thing you can do to provide extra support is encourage other people to support Wisconsin Public Radio. I hope you tell people you know about Central Time and about the Ideas Network in general. Now you can nudge them if you know they listen, like, hey, I gave. Did you? And you can tell them how to give. You can tell them, go to WPR.org. That's pretty easy. Or call 888-202-2552. If you're like me, you've got that number etched in your brain forever.
Same. Yeah, take your chance right now. Join in. Step up. Join the WPR family, because the Ideas Network is important to your life. You can do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Take advantage of this 2-for-1 Tuesday. Get two pairs of socks today only when you give $15 a month or more. Not just any socks. These are Wisconsin Public Radio socks. I should emphasize that point. They're not randomly selected
special
socks. Yeah, so you can wear them, show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio, and look at them and know, hey, I'm part of the team. I'm part of the Central Time team. Give now. WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Protests broke out across Iran over a week ago and continue to this day. It started after 22-year-old Mahsa Amini died in police custody after being arrested for allegedly violating the country's dress code. Protesters are calling for women's rights in addition to better economic management. In some cases, they're criticizing Iran's system of leadership itself. Dalia Fahmy is an associate professor of political science and director of international relations and diplomacy at Long Island University. Her specialties include U.S. foreign policy and the politics of the Middle East. Dalia, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Can you talk us through the incident that sparked these widespread protests across Iran?
So unfortunately, this incident and many incidents throughout the world, the attack on a woman, begins a catalyst of several issues. So as you mentioned, Iran's been having a suffering economy. We've seen levels of corruption that are unprecedented, but it's the kind of repression and the social restrictions that are under this new, more conservative government. Now, Iran has always had, since 1979, a more conservative leaning where women had to cover. But at this current moment, since the past year, the new government is cracking down since Ebrahim Raisi, the ultra-conservative, became president. And he has systematically tightened and tried to enforce strict social and religious rules. Now, if you remember, it was just 2009 when people came into the streets during the Green Revolution in Iran, calling for a change after those corrupt elections brought Ahmadinejad into power. And it was the killing of Neda, a young woman, that publicly sparked the outcry against corruption and the kind of movement for change. So here again, we see the death of a young woman symbolizing all of the aggression that people have towards the regime. And the question is, why is it that when repression increases, when you have more right-wing hardline governments, that their mode of control is the policing of women's bodies?
Can you talk a little more about the history of that policing in Iran? This is a big change in 1979, but as you say, it's varied in intensity over the last few decades.
So under former President Hassan Rouhani, who was a moderate, young Iranians saw a degree of flexibility where the morality police were less stringent and less on the street. And so you saw fashion change and women's hair come peeking from under their scarves, and hemlines were changed. And some women even dared to go further, removing their headscarves in public restaurants and even in cars. But with this new government, you've seen a much more hardline, ultra-conservative crackdown. And, you know, the question always remains, why is it when hardliners come in and want to religiousify, if you will, the country, that they focus on women and not, for example, the eradication of hunger or the bringing forth of justice? And so here, it's because in Iran, just as we are seeing in Afghanistan with the limiting of girls' education beyond the sixth grade, or even to a certain extent in the United States with the policing of women's reproductive rights, as we want to redefine the family, as we want to redefine the state and what it means to be a woman in the state, usually it's on the policing of women. And in the case of Iran, repression is tied to, and Afghanistan is tied to, the policing of women's bodies, because that's the modicum of social control. If you want to control all of society, you start with controlling women's bodies. Because if you can attack a woman, if the state can attack a woman in the middle of the street, they can do whatever they want to anyone.
Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian talked to NPR via a translator. He said he told his counterparts in other countries that these protests were not particularly significant.
I'm assuring them that there is not a big deal going on in Iran. There is not going to be a regime change in Iran. And don't play to the emotions of the Iranian people.
So not a surprise, Iran's foreign minister saying, in effect, nothing to see here. How significant do you see this current wave of protest?
Well, again, we don't have a lot of information, but the videos that are creeping out, the images that we do see, show that this has been in its second week and not dying down, and that this is not just secular women versus religious rule. This is everyone, even members of the conservative parts of society are coming to the forefront because they know that this leads to social division, discrimination, and furthering the divide within society. So this catalytic moment has brought everyone into the street, just as we've seen in other parts of the world, for example, throughout the Arab Spring. So this will not be dying down, and this is why the foreign minister and much of the Iranian regime is downplaying the impact of this and cutting off the internet and cutting off information from leaving from inside of Iran, because if we do know what is happening, that this will galvanize it into a greater movement.
We're talking to Dalia Fahmy from Long Island University, Middle East expert there, looking at the headlines you may have seen of protests in Iran over the last 10 days or so. President Joe Biden recently spoke about the protests and talked about the Iranian women in particular. Here's a listen.
And today, we stand with the brave citizens and the brave women of Iran who right now are demonstrating to secure their basic rights. But here's what I know. The future will be won by those countries that unleash the full potential of their populations, where women and girls can exercise equal rights.
Can you talk about the U.S. Response and role here? I know Iranian leadership points to the protests and says this is outside interference from Americans and others. What kind of line does U.S. leadership have to walk here?
Yes, exactly. So we're hearing that much of the leadership saying that this call for change, this call for the redefining of religiosity in society is coming from the outside. And we know that that's not true. And so the interesting thing for the U.S. and the rest of the international community is to wait and see and lend support, but to not feed the social division on gendered lines. This is truly about transparency. This is truly about justice and democracy and people having a voice and the loosening of restrictions on media and social and political control. So the fact that the regime continues to instill fear in society, saying this is coming from the outside, is because this protest has spread far beyond the usual ranks of activists. It has reached everyday people, both men and women, secular and religious, young and old. It's been catalyzed by the severe economic conditions, corruptions, and restrictions Iranians find themselves in. And the more they become cut off from the rest of the world, the more galvanized they are to force change to come upon.
As you mentioned, there have been past waves of protest in Iran. You have a country with elections, but then over it, in effect, a Supreme Court of sorts of religious leaders. Has that kind of leadership responded? Has it made concessions in cases of past demonstrations or what?
Well, so in 2009, during the Green Revolution, you know, just as you said, here is an election, and then the Ayatollah comes out and says, this is indeed your president, and you know, in Iran, Ayatollah has a direct connection to God. And so when people went into the street, it was a crisis of legitimacy that we all were witnessing. Because if legitimacy comes from Ayatollah, essentially through God, and people were still protesting in the street, then it was a very big blow to the regime. They had to actually come to the center. They had to institute certain reforms because they had lost the street, if you will. And when you have a crisis of legitimacy, the state has to respond. For the past 15 years or so, the state has been responding. However, when you see a collapsing economy, the return of a more hard line, you'll see the range of grievances be reflected and the state responds in a clampdown. After this period, yes, we will have to see a level of opening because this repression cannot sustain. The more repressive regimes become, once the fear barrier is broken within society, the more destruction will happen internally.
As we heard from the Iranian foreign minister there, he says there's not going to be a regime change in Iran. And that seems like a tall order, even with widespread protests. What are you looking for when it comes to the survival of the Iranian regime?
They will have to make certain concessions. We're not, regime change is I think, far away. But they do know the cost of the last revolutions and the loss, not just that they had in the street, the loss in the eyes of the international community, but the loss of trust they had. And so in the elections that came upon after, you saw more moderates come into power. And so what we're going to probably see in the coming months and years, and hopefully in the coming days and weeks, are statements of concession. Because ultimately, 42 more people have been killed since the death 10 days ago. And when you see that this is everyday civilians, young people, the protests will not stop. And so it's not going to be in the regime's best interest to continue this level of repression.
as we wrap up, things are moving quickly. As you say, information can be pieces of information can be few and far between. What are you watching for next from Iran?
I'm watching for them to respond to these grievances, to make a pact with society and say, whether it's going to be increasing jobs, a little bit of openness, a moratorium on the religious policing of women. Usually these are the responses that happen to kind of quell the grievances of the population so they move on back to everyday life. The question is, will this new government, this is a new hardline government, only a year old, actually see the writing on the wall and respond in this way? Because if they don't, we might just come to a nexus of increased repression that could lead to more violence in the long term.
Dahlia, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's Dahlia Fahmy, Associate Professor of Political Science, Director of International Relations and Diplomacy at Long Island University, looking at the protests happening in Iran and reactions from the U.S. and elsewhere. Now to the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Rachel Vasquez joins me. Your gift right now is so important because gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Central Time and all the shows you count on are possible thanks to your support. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, Rob, last time I said the pressure was on. Well, now we are really down to the wire. We've got just a few more minutes left in this hour, and we are looking for 9 more people to join in. We need your help to do it. Don't procrastinate. Step up and do it now. You can make your gift to support the programs that you love, that you count on every single day, like Central Time.
Made a lot of progress since the last time we checked in. Thank you if you've given. We just talked about the protests in Iran, not just the headlines you may have seen, some of the history, some of the context. You count on Central Time to bring you the stories behind the headlines to help you understand the news. It's an example of the in-depth conversations you can count on here on the Ideas Network.
But we really need your help to do it. WPR is listener powered. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all of the topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, and then the important part is that you make your gift.
It's the fall member drive. It's the autumn season, sock season, a lot of people call it, and WPR has you covered as you make the switch from sandals and flip-flops to shoes and socks. Today, get 2 pairs of WPR socks when you give $15 a month or more for the programs you value. They're gold and navy. They celebrate the national and statewide content you get access to on air and online every day. Only available today, this 2 pairs for $15 a month. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is important because it provides an unbiased report of news, information. It's a one-stop shopping center for information and learning, as far as I'm concerned. I do not listen to commercial radio anymore. I have no time for it. I don't like to be shouted at. I like to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I appreciate all of that because that makes that listening so much more enjoyable.
Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's the Fall Member Drive, Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Rachel Vasquez. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you count on. So your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really does have a big impact.
And thank you so much for spending your time with Wisconsin Public Radio today. Whether you found us by scanning your dial or maybe a friend recommended the great music or great discussions, you are still tuned in because you like what you hear.
And because you like what you hear, help pay for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. You choose the amount. Maybe it's $100 or maybe it's $10 a month. Whatever amount is right for you is a great way to start. Become our next donor at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You really don't get more than what you pay for a lot these days. Well, WPR is one of those places where it's actually true every day. Think about a gift of $2 a day to support the programs that you love.
It's hard to buy a lot for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. That would work out to $60 a month. You can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We need just a few more people to join in the last few minutes of this hour. We really cannot do it without you. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make sure there's a bright future for the programs that you love.
Show off your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and independent journalism and quality entertainment with those new WPR socks. Today, only get two pairs of the navy and gold cotton socks when you give $15 a month or more. It's got an Argyle design. It features a radio and a Wisconsin-themed pattern. The world is going to know you support Wisconsin Public Radio's essential public service. Now, this is only today. The two pairs give $15 a month or more. Get those socks at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Looking for just a few more gifts now by the end of the hour, Rachel. How about becoming a sustainer? How do people do that?
Well, you can do it. It's very easy to set up. All you do is make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. And you can do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maria in Rhinelander says, I wish to support true journalism and news integrity. Thank you. Marla, I misread that. I is an L. Yeah. And Cliff in Monona says, I need a sane and reliable source of information. And I enjoy the programming. Cliff and Marla, thank you so much for giving and for the kind words. Now, how about you? You count on us each and every day on Central Time and on the Ideas Network for great conversations, for up-to-the-minute, in-depth news. We count on you to help pay for it all. Make your very important gift right now. It takes just a few minutes. Online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you.